it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, welcome back, tokers and tokettes. We are here at Rolla J Studios on a beautiful Friday, taking ourselves into the weekend with our new supporter, Strong Silicone. Strong Silicone heard my tales of woe from breaking not one, not two, not three, but four glass bongs here at Rolla J Studio this year. And that sent us this beautiful silicone bong. It's made of high-grade platinum-cured silicone. It's about, 15 inches tall. Your typical tube model style bong, right? It's got a nice big base. And the best part, it's glow-in-the-dark, man. It glows in the dark, man. Check them out, Strong Silicone online. And, I got a question for the chat and the listening audience out there. Normally when I do the show, and by the way, I do the show smoking weed. I don't know if you knew that, but I smoke weed during the show. And it's been a back and forth, you know, earlier in my career, whether or not I should do that. Right. It was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't smoke weed. Maybe just wait until after the show. Maybe. But I eventually came to the decision that smoking weed's part of my life and it's who I am and it's how I am, right? And to not smoke weed doing what I do is almost an admission of what our opponents say about weed, that you'll not be productive and you'll be a slacker and a loser. And I kind of took that as a personal challenge to say, oh yeah, you want to see a motivation syndrome? Watch what happens when I get myself loaded up on some sativa. I crank out 7 articles a week. Each article, at least 400 words, usually 800. I crank out 10 hours worth of talk radio programming. I crank out graphs that are used all throughout the internet, all throughout the world in people's presentations and such. I mean, I took it as a challenge, right? So that's why I do it, right? And I also worried, you know, should I, you know, smoke the bong on air and make the bong noise and it's going to sound all juvenile. And I don't do that all the time, but I'll do that from time to time, especially if I'm going to promote a great product. I mean, this Strong Silicone kicks ass. I realize I cannot break this bong. In fact, you can fold this bong. It came to me folded up in one of them postage envelope things, those little bubble wrap postage things. So anyway, thanks to Strong Silicone. And I did want to ask a question of the listening audience, because I'm always smoking weed, right? And but you know me, I'm a sativa guy, right? Because sativa is the cure for writer's block. And sometimes hybrids, but usually sativas. And I usually pick the stuff that's the high THC, right? I'm not to that snob level yet of knowing which terpene that I need and which this and that and which ratio. I'm not to that snob level. I'm just like, give me sativa and give me the highest THC you got. So today, as I made my purchase of marijuana, the only 7-gram package that was available was this heavy indica called Frankenstein. Let me see if I can get the cap on this sucker. Frankenstein, 23.5% THC. 0.01% CBD. So, yeah, heavy duty stuff, but it's an indica. It's more of an indica strain. And I'm just wondering, does that change how I do the show? Do I seem different on indica today than I do on sativa? Cause I don't know. It's always the same to me. It's interesting. Maybe I should start cataloging this stuff, right? Cross-reference which strain went with which show. Oh, there's the show where I couldn't pronounce anything. That must have been Grape Ape, right? I don't know. But it'd be a worthwhile experiment, I suppose. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little more about the smoking and driving thing. And the other indicator, and I didn't include this in the post, but the other indicator to me that this is a non-issue is the fact that it's never been an issue. Okay, when the drunk driving thing happened, right? Okay, so I grew up in this era as the 80s dawned and Mothers Against Drunk Driving was formed by Candy Leitner because there was a high profile case. Her kid, her 13-year-old daughter, I think it was, got hit by a drunk driver. And then that sparked outrage and she, had this Mothers Against Drunk Driving thing, right? But we all knew drunks were bad drivers, right? In the 70s, leading up to the 80s, it was not like it was a secret. My dad got 2-3 DUIs. He was an alcoholic in the 70s, right? 2 or 3 DUIs. I remember one time he rolled, do you remember a Ram Charger? Does that sound familiar to anyone? A car called a Ram Charger. It was like a early form of an SUV. Dad rolled the Ram Charger one time. And I remember visiting him in the hospital. I must've been 9, something like that. And that was just like, people accepted drunk driving as just like a symptom of something. They didn't really see it as something we could do anything about. Right. In fact, it was like kind of understood that people drank and drove, that they would drive slower or, that was just a cultural difference back then. But it wasn't like we didn't know they were bad drivers and could harm people. Right. And to me, as we saw the bodies pile up and the statistics pile up of people who are dead because of drinking and driving, that's what led us to want to have these standards for drinking and driving, this 0.08 thing, right? By contrast, the marijuana, right? Has there ever been a time in history where people have gone, oh my God, look at all the carnage from the marijuana drivers? It's been understood, the joke has always been that the stoner is the one that's going to miss his exit, right? He's going to be driving 45 on the freeway. That's the cultural perception of what marijuana drivers are, because it's true. As far as like the really too stoned to be driving ones, right? For the most of the rest of us, having a little toke and getting behind the wheel and driving around, we are as sober as anyone else driving around who's got a prescription for antihistamines or penicillin. And I'm not just pulling this out of my ass. This is the actual studies that say so. When they look at the odds, risks, the adjusted ratios, blah, 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 all that Palmer and Tano language, it really comes down to this stuff over the counter and some of your prescription stuff far more risky than me smoking a joint and then deciding to get in the car and go down to the snack shack for, M&Ms or whatever. Right. So we'll talk more about this, but to me, I think the number one thing that shoots down the stone driver's mayhem idea, stone mayhem on the freeway, I think the number one thing that shuts that down is just asking, where are the bodies? Where are the bodies, right? Anyway, we'll be back. We're going to take a quick break.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio.
As a police officer, I walked a beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Step into the future every Tuesday night with Electric Bob's Boogaloo, our weekly electronic music jam. Electric Bob brings you the latest house, trance, dubstep, and other electronic music from the freshest DJs and producers. It's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at 11 p.m. on 420radio.org.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Yeah, it's Rockin' Friday, all right. That's Sammy Hagar with The Yogi's So High, I'm Stoned. Blows my mind to think that Sammy Hagar and my mom are the same age.
I felt the earth move, saw the sunrise, knew who the stars shine for. Understood Ospinsky, witness Velikowski's sunset rising at my door. Tracing my footsteps right down that.
Yeah, I love Sammy Hagar, the Red Rocker, still rocking hard. Wow, man, closing in on 70 years old. Some of these old rockers, man, it's interesting how some of them, you know, get older and pretty much still have their pipes, right? You check out your Steven Tyler, your Ozzy Osbourne, your Sammy Hagar. Still got their pipes. Hey, we got a call coming in from the 234 area code. You're on the air with Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, I told you I'd call Russ. It's Dan Fissel, Twitter in Ohio.
Hey, Dan from Ohio. Glad to have you on.
Hey, man, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing, for helping us and trying to get issue 3 passed. As you can tell, there's a lot of people that don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
And want this thing to fail.
Yeah. How does that make you feel, Dan?
I'm sorry, say it again?
How does that make you feel, knowing that there's other pot smokers out there trying to keep you a criminal?
First of all, it pisses me off, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
I understand being upset about the commercial grower aspect of the law. But when you talk about the other falsehoods they just keep bringing up, it reminds me, to me, it's like they went to the 1937 playbook on how to make marijuana illegal. They're just doing the same thing they're doing. Lie, lie, and lie.
There you go. How's it looking there in Ohio? I know with the Buddy mascot coming out, that got a lot of attention, both good and bad. I mean, do you think that Ohio can pass this thing?
I really do. I honestly do. I think, I mean, there are first-time voters all over Ohio. I'm constantly registering voters to pass this. And it's, to be completely honest, I wish they had used Buddy. I understand that it's just for college students, but, you know, they might be smarter than me and how to reach that type of crowd. But I think the momentum is for us. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like the buddy thing just in, you know, not that I'm
particularly like, adults like superheroes too, right? But I like what Stephen Colbert said. He said it looked more like a Brussels sprout. I thought that was cute.
Yes, I saw that. It actually made me laugh. And I'm grateful to him, though. It actually brought what Ohio is doing actually out to actually the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't heard about this in much of any mainstream media, I think. The more I focused on it, the better off we are.
Yeah, you're right. I think people in Ohio maybe can't imagine the magnitude of what passing Ohio would be like on the day after the election. To have a state that goes a Midwestern, Rust Belt, kind of purplish conservative state to go from no marijuana law straight to recreational and medical in an off year election, that might tip the scales even more than California's going to completely tip. Like Ohio would be the crack in the wall and then California just kick it right over.
Oh, absolutely. Ohio is the swing state. Every presidential election year they keep talking about wherever goes Ohio, so goes the nation.
Yep.
And I believe with recreational marijuana, this can be the tipping point. Because Ohio's in the Midwest, we have poor borders on all sides of us. The federal government's going to be like, okay, we've lost this. Let's see how we can make this better for every single person so we're not arresting people in 30 states and letting the other 30 be adults that have decisions over what they put in their own bodies.
Yeah. Part of what makes it hard, and the perfect example of this was California in 2010. California's Prop 19 in 2010 was rolling along pretty well. And so to try to stop it, Governor Schwarzenegger, he says, I will decriminalize it. And he signed the bill that made it decrim. And that gave the just enough edge for the kind of anti-monopoly people. There was no monopoly, but that's what they called it. No, on Prop 19 people did. But it gave them just enough ledge for them to say, oh, well, it's decrim now. It's not that big a deal. With Ohio having 3.5 ounces decrim, that's where a lot of these anti-legalization people, the Stoners Against Legalization Ohio, or SALIO, I'm calling them now, are hanging their hat. They're saying, well, it's just decrim. It's no big deal. What is living in a decrim in Ohio like to you, Dan?
Decriminalization is like a prohibition light. I've been arrested before myself for marijuana, just for having marijuana, actually having a rolled joint and then having a bag in my pocket.
Uh-huh.
That's actually two separate. They also have, they had draconian paraphernalia. So let's say they gave you a ticket for your bag of pot, but you got 90 days in jail for having a pipe.
Yeah, I think they've changed that law. To be fair, I think they've changed that law in Ohio recently, though. I think the paraphernalia one did get changed.
Yeah, they did within the last, 3 or 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
They're actually trying right now to change the law. They actually have a statutory driver's license suspension. And I hear online on Twitter all the time where, oh, it's only sometimes. Well, I'm sorry, but when it is sometimes, it means that you actually had a lawyer, you paid money to get a lawyer, you paid money for a plea agreement, because it's not the judge that suspends your license after a drug charge. It's the DMV.
There you go. That's right. It's more money out of your pocket to try to defend yourself. And the frustrating thing is that happens when you weren't even near your car or around your car in any way. It's an administrative punishment, which is frustrating because it's like driving your car for a lot of people isn't a privilege. It's how you get to work. It's how you function. And without it, you are economically burdened.
Absolutely. It is, I mean, especially in Ohio where you have zero public transportation unless you live in a major city.
Sure.
I mean, we have buses in major cities, but we don't have monorail or any of that stuff like that some major cities have all over in the West Coast and the East Coast. But we're a Midwestern state. It's either use your two legs or you have a car.
Yeah, for me,
so
you know.
That's how we survive here.
Yeah, yeah. The state of Oregon could suspend my driver's license and it'd be like, oh, all right. I got a bike, I got a train, I got a bus, I got an Amtrak, I got a streetcar. I mean, Uber if I have to.
I mean, I read about 2 years ago, 2013, the average Ohio commute is 29 minutes in a car.
Oh.
I mean, that's
29 minutes.
Unheard of to bike or walk. That's like crap.
Yeah, you ain't having that, that's for sure. No doubt about it.
But,
oh,
yeah,
oh, Dan.
Awesome.
You can't do reefer comedy. I'm drunk. Two different animals.
You got us just in time for 420 here on the West Coast, Dan.
Oh, hell yeah. Thanks. That's awesome.
Well, thanks for calling in. We love you out there in Ohio. Good luck on issue 3, and if you got it, light it.
No problem, definitely. Appreciate all your help over here, man.
You betcha. Happy 420, thanks. Everyone. We're back right after this.
Radio, the activist radio station. The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together. So let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Oh, yeah, man. This weekend couldn't have come quick enough. There's a lot of college football happening. My Boise State Broncos take the field in just 100 minutes from now. And we got Herb Thrasher, Roll Tide, on the line. How you doing, Herb?
Doing great. Yeah, big game tomorrow. Actually, a lot of things. It could be the biggest game of the college season, and that is Alabama against Ole Miss. Ole Miss has scored 140 points in the last 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Beat Alabama last year, and so this is a big game in the SEC West. So college football is always something going on right here at 420 Radio, and always looking forward to talking about it. Something else going on, a little bit of breaking news, actually, before I get to some stuff. Here in the last 30 minutes, if you guys have been surfing, you might have seen, but Hemp Stock, which is a Portland hemp festival here held October 17th and 18th, will be fence-free and search-free.
What?
So that's huge. If you guys were there last year, it was a huge problem. You'll remember the two fencing, the two search sites, and going through your bags, and none of that this year. We're legalized, and the core staff has just been working hard with the city, and it's hard to get them to search when we're legal. We're allowed to have an ounce on us anyways, and so it's just great news for the festival and for Portland moving forward, and so looking forward to that. Wanted to share that with you as well. Tonight, have a great Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. In-studio guest, Portland Doomsters, Stoner Doomers, Mammoth Salmon. So three dudes have a brand-new released last vestige of humanity, and I look forward to playing every track on that album with the band sitting in the studio with us taking bong hits. So good stuff right there. Looking forward to that tonight at 8 p.m. right there from the Rolla J Studios. All right, man, getting to our Rockin' Friday tune. It's from a band called See This World, which is going to be playing at the Boston Freedom Rally next weekend, which quite a few other bands are going to be there. A lot of speakers. It is actually September 26th and 27th, held at the Boston Common, always held there. A lot of speakers there. You guys know Danny Danko from High Times, Dr. Keith Saunders on the Normal Board, Mascan Normal Board, and Dr. Mitch is going to be there. Russ is going to be there. Leland Berger from Oregon is going to be there speaking, and a lot of bands, Sorrow Seed, Tiger Man Woe, and Tosh One, son of Peter Tosh, and then this band right here, See This World, who is Dave Tree, and we've played Tree before. They were an outstanding hardcore hardwood band in the 2000s, and now they have this band launched recently in July, and it's got a, they got a five-tune little EP posted on a Bandcamp page. And it's just five dudes, got some grooves, got that Boston kind of sound, hardcore sound. And the track that we're going to be playing is called Down. And so you guys definitely keep supporting 420 Radio. I know you guys are down with 420 Radio. I know you guys are down with weed, and you're down with having a great weekend. So this is Down from See This World. See you guys tonight on Earth Thrasher Flower Hour. Fire it up.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National, Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific for Planet Green Trees, podcasting at planetgreentrees.com. The best resource for everything related to Michigan medical marijuana with your host, attorney Michael Comorn. Check our online listings for Planet Green Trees with Michael Comorn from planetgreentrees.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour. Enjoying the remainder of our 420 break as we come into some Elliott Smith here with his tune High Times. Less than 90 minutes away from kickoff for my Boise State Broncos. I'm excited because we should win this game against Idaho State, but crossing my fingers because now it's a weird place to be. You know, Boise State used to always be the upstart little team that was going to go beat the powerhouse, and now Boise State's kind of the powerhouse. So I always worry about these upstart little teams coming in to play. But we shall see. The game is being played at Boise State. So we should hold serve, I think. Boise State's got quite the home field advantage. I did want to toot my own horn just a little bit, if I could be allowed to. Thank you. There is an article up on our local newspaper's website, Oregon Live, and Oregon Live, our beat reporter, Noelle Crombie, put together, she's the one that covers most of the marijuana stories, she put together this story called Countdown to Recreational Marijuana Sales, What You Need to Know, Q&A, right? And it's kind of like a FAQ, you know, frequently asked questions, because we are 13 days away from being able to buy marijuana, any adult, not just Oregonians, any adult 21 and older in the state of Oregon can walk into participating medical marijuana dispensaries, purchase up to a quarter ounce of marijuana and four seedlings and an unlimited number of seeds. That all starts October 1st. We are 13 days away from that. And personally, I'm just ecstatic because literally seven blocks away from me is Panacea, one of our dispensaries on Sandy Boulevard. If I caught the number 12 bus between my place on 75th Avenue and the river, you know, Zero Avenue, right? Within that 75 blocks, there's six more. And most of them are clustered in this area of Portland called the Hollywood District, where, you know, within, let's see, there's one on 24th, one on 28th, one on 33rd, one on 42nd, one just across the little parking lot over on Broadway. I mean, there's a lot of choices. And the competition is just going to, it can't do anything but benefit us as marijuana consumers. So that's 13 days away to be able to go walk into any of these dispensaries. Looking forward to it. Now, Noel Crombie put this article up, What You Need to Know, because a lot of people, they don't know, right? So they want to know, you know, it's typical questions. Who can buy marijuana? What can I buy? What products are off limits? We're not going to be able to buy extracts, hash oil, edibles, or topicals. I don't understand that. Well, I think I do understand. I think they want to make sure that the topicals and the edibles are still available for patients, right? What's to keep people from buying 7 grams? Because you only can buy 7 grams, you know, a quarter ounce. What's to stop someone from buying 7 grams at one place, going down the street, buying another 7 grams? Nothing. And we can possess 8 ounces at home. So on a weekend, with my bus pass, I could go up and down Sandy Boulevard, and by the end of that weekend, have my 8 ounces of marijuana here at the house. Because remember also that starting 13 days from now, those purchases are tax-free. No taxes on the recreational marijuana that we will be purchasing for the next 3 months, for the rest of this year. So there was a point in this article, though, that caught my eye. And it was about how much we could possess. Said, can I be charged with a crime if I go over the possession limit? Possession, and this is for possession at home, right? Possession of more than 8 ounces, but not more than 16 ounces, is a Class B violation, a non-criminal violation equivalent to a traffic ticket. Did you catch that? We can have 1 gram less than a pound of weed in our house, and it's a ticket. Now, it's a stout ticket. You can get up $1,000. On that ticket, right? So, but still, Class B violation, up to $1,000 ticket for a gram shy of a pound of weed in your house. Then it says, possession of between 16 and 32 ounces is a Class B misdemeanor. So up to 2 pounds in your house, and yeah, you're going to get arrested, but it's just going to be a misdemeanor. But then there was the third part that said, possession of more than 32 ounces of flour is a Class C felony. And that caught my eye because I knew it wasn't true. So I said, wait a minute. Because I've been using a talking point for my last few speeches. And that's the fact that under Oregon's marijuana legalization, there is no amount of marijuana you can possess and get a felony. Usable marijuana, not plants, not talking plants. If you have more than 8 plants, it's a felony, Class C felony. But just usable marijuana, I can have tons of it. I could have my garage packed floor to ceiling with bales of marijuana, and it would be a Class A misdemeanor. Now, it's a serious misdemeanor. You can do some time for that, but still, you're not going to be a felon. So I, you know, said, hey, this doesn't seem to be right. And she said she'd have cleared it with an attorney. And I said, well, I don't think he's right. And so she went and got a hold of Rob Bovet, who is the OLCC guy. And he said, no, I'm right. That I'm actually right on this. And it's just fascinating to me. Anyway, the reason I bring it up is just because now it's been corrected. And just to let you know that when you're getting a VIP membership to 420 Radio, when you're doing your monthly subscription, that leads to those things that actually had a tangible effect in that I don't have a day job. This is my job. This is all I do. All I do is read, write, analyze, and smoke marijuana. That's it. And watch football games. Okay. So two things I do, but because you guys are VIPs and you sponsors out there as well, because you've been supporting me, I'm able to do this and have this effect where in just this week, I caught the largest paper in Oregon misstating what our possession laws are. I caught the leading anti-marijuana legalization propaganda arm completely transposing the data on youth marijuana increases. I caught the local SAM organization on their misstatement of Colorado and Washington youth increases. I caught the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America in a flat out misstatement. So thank you. I guess what I'm getting to is I could not do this without your support. So thank you so much. If you want to help out, it's 420radio.org/donate. You can join monthly through PayPal, or you could just do a one-time thing. It'll also take credit cards, debit cards, that kind of stuff. Would really appreciate that. And as many of you guys know, I'm now moving on to join cannabisradio.com. Made this announcement yesterday. Cannabisradio.com is a network that includes Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Vivian McPeak from Seattle Hemp Fest, Kyle Cushman, the legendary grower, and many more great shows are coming to cannabisradio.com, which is going to be a 24-hour stream that will also be available through iHeartRadio. So if you get a whole lot more exposure for what we're doing here on the Russ Belville Show, those of you who are 420radio.org VIPs, you will be transitioned into being Russ Belville Show VIPs. And it will support just the Russ Belville Show. And with our new connections, I'm sure we'll have all sorts more discount things and goodies we can get for our membership. So it will be a smooth transition. You won't lose out. And really, effectively, your donation will be going the same place it's always gone. And that is to continue my mission, to continue my quest, I guess, for the eventual marijuana freedom we all deserve. And this leads me to another thought, which is Keith Stropp, my friend Keith Stropp from Normal, wrote this excellent post on the Normal blog about what is legalization, pointing out how some people say, oh, well, if you can only have an ounce, it's not legalization. Oh, well, if you have to get a license, it's not legalization. And he was very succinct in pointing out that legalization is the opposite of criminalization, right? So if you're no longer treated as a criminal, it's legal. If you can possess weed and grow weed, then weed is legal. Now, to say that it's illegal if you don't follow certain limits is to also say that other things wouldn't be legal if you didn't follow certain limits. Like, you know, you can't drink alcohol when you're 20. Then alcohol's illegal. It's not legalized. Alcohol's not legalized if 20-year-olds can't drink. That's the same kind of logic, right? It's like saying when, you know, you rent a car, but you can't take it out of the state. Oh, well, then it's not legal. It's not legal if I can't travel everywhere I want to go. But no, things can be legal and still be regulated with certain limits. And if you pass those limits, you're now illegal. That, you know, pollution controls, let's say. You can have a company and you pump out, you know, your waste gas. And if it's got too much pollution in it, you're fine. Well, then it's illegal for me to be a business. No, there's a regulation. And if you break a regulation, there has to be a consequence, right? Okay, so marijuana is legal. But what these people are confusing is the concept of legalization, which is a process. Legal, which is a determinant of any specific act or item, you know, whether it's contraband or not, right? So when we're talking about marijuana, it's either contraband or it's not contraband. And if it's legal to possess even an ounce of it, it's no longer contraband. Now, having more than the ounce you're allowed to possess means you've broken this regulation, you've broken this limit, and you've fallen into the criminal prosecution area. But that doesn't mean marijuana is not legal. See, when marijuana, even an ounce, even if you legalized a gram of marijuana, even if you legalized just a gram of it, it's legal. Because it ends the contraband nature, because the possession of some of it is legal. Cops can't use the smell of it to harass you. Smell of marijuana does not connote how much marijuana there is. An ounce smells like a pound. It's just a marijuana smell. So that to me is what makes legalization legal, is that I can't be harassed over the smell of weed on me. Because that's the intersection, that's the interface between me and the state. Between me and the state is that cop who is talking to me at a traffic stop, most likely, because that's most, by and large, where we have our encounters with police. Or perhaps at some event or some place.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
For
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Yes, Rockin' Friday is happening for sure. That's Head P.E. with Renegade. Used to be the theme song for the Radical Rant until I de-copyrighted everything. Gotta be careful at the end of that there, Russ. You ever have that situation where there's a great classic hip-hop song you like or something, and you're singing along and you're yelling along, going all, get to that part that you're not allowed to say? I'm sure I'm not the only pale face with that problem. Welcome back. It's 48 after the hour here on our final segment of the Russ Belville Show for this week. Been a great week. Oh my God. Lots of fun this week. And I tell you, that Republican debate. Oh my. The fun of that debate. And for me, go a little off the warpath here. But to me, the highlight of the debate, it was like the highlight and the low light. Right in a 1 minute segment, okay? And it was the moment when Donald Trump landed the best line of the entire 3 hour thing, referring back to Jeb Bush's brother, George W. Bush, said, "Your brother brought us Barack Obama. Because the last 3 months of his administration were so bad that even Abraham Lincoln couldn't have gotten elected." I love that one. So after that line, Jeb, exclamation point, responds by saying, "There's one thing I know for sure about my brother, and that's that he kept us safe." And I'm like, you talking about your other brother? Because your brother, if I remember correctly, Jeb exclamation point,
was reading My Pet Goat when Al-Qaeda crashed airliners into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and wrecked one out there in Pennsylvania. If I remember correctly, on August 6, 2001, you got a presidential daily briefing entitled Bin Laden Determined to Attack in the United States that cited that there were Bin Laden sympathizers in the country possibly working to use explosives and casing federal buildings in New York. And you kept us safe. I love this idea that Bush kept us safe. And they always point to 9/12/2001 when he's standing on the rubble with the firefighter and the flag and the mom and apple pie and the national anthem playing in the background, as if George W. Bush's administration started on day 235. Supposed to be ready on day one, according to Senator Rubio. Marco Rubio said, a president needs to be ready on day one. It's a dangerous world. You need to be ready on day one. Unless you're George W. Bush, then day 235 will do. So I got a problem with this whitewashing of history that the right wants to play on the administration of George W. Bush as if 9/11 didn't happen on his watch. Didn't keep us safe on 9/11. We have to be right 100% of the time. The terrorists only have to be right once. And they were. They were right once. And this crazy idea that somehow we're less safe under Barack Obama because a couple of guys exploded some pressure cooker bombs at the Boston Marathon compared to the towers. Right. Somehow we're less safe. So I had a big problem with that. And of course, I also had a big problem with his corpulence, Governor Chris Christie. And I know I shouldn't go ad hominem, and I hardly am in a position to make fat jokes, but fuck him and fuck the horse he rode in on, because this is the guy who has obstructed medical marijuana at every opportunity. And we're talking limited, highly limited medical marijuana law, and has obstructed that in New Jersey. Standing up there on the stage saying, I supported and implemented a medical marijuana law in my state. Yeah, right. You're the biggest roadblock to medical marijuana since closing down a lane on the GW Bridge, Chris Christie. And he dared to reiterate that talking point he's used before. I was appointed by President Bush on September 10th, you know, 2 days before his term started, right? I was supported by it on two. No, he wasn't. Christie was called by Bush to be told that he was going through the background process of checking his background in the background checks to eventually nominate him to be appointed to be U.S. attorney, which didn't happen until December 7th, 2001. Kept us safe. George W. Bush, he kept us safe unless... unless you're a poor black person in the lower ninth ward of New Orleans. Not so safe. You know, we actually lived through the Bush administration, guys. Who are they talking to? Were those guys, were the Republicans on the stage 2 days ago talking to people under the age of 30 or something? Under the age of 25? Because we lived through it, remember? We were there. Kept us safe, except that whole part about invading a country that had nothing to do with it. When 9/11 was perpetrated by Saudi Arabians under the spell of Osama bin Laden, Dick Cheney decided that we should go into Iraq, get rid of Saddam Hussein, because that's where all the oil is. You know, we lived through it. How they think they can keep pushing this on us, George W. Bush, my brother, he kept us safe. Unless you define safety as the ability to keep your house, as the ability to have a home to live in circa 2008, when he damn near crashed the entire worldwide economy. And for these Republicans to have the gall to point to Senator Bernie Sanders and say, socialist, he's a socialist, watch out for the socialist. When they did the biggest socialist takeover of industry ever, when they were bailing out the banks. Bush had to bail out the banks. That's the textbook definition of socialism. You got the government subsidizing the too big to fail banks. Socialism. Yeah. We could use some socialism in this country. What? This is the thing that really kills me, right? So like these people, these types of people are generally your rah-rah jingoistic America number one, USA, USA, right? We're the best country. We are number one. And yet stand by and watch as other countries kick our ass in things we should be leading in. When you look at like Finland or Denmark, these aren't massive economies. These aren't world powers. And yet they kick our ass in education. Their kids go to the best schools, score the best on the tests worldwide, and get free college when they want to go to school and better themselves because these countries figured it out. Wouldn't this country be a better country if everyone in it were more educated? Yeah, sure would. Just kind of like being in a society where people don't have infectious diseases is a good thing too. We should do things for the good of our whole society so that we all as individuals can achieve more and greater. And it's a self-fulfilling thing. And it's not as if this is fantasy. This is what the U.S. was from 1948 to 1978, virtually. We had a whole 30-year expansion of the middle class and rising educational rates and every generation doing better than their parents. And now we're in a space where the next generation will probably do worse. So I'm stunned at this. And, you know, as far as it tying this back to marijuana, which is always my goal in these long rambling rants, is that marijuana is the one topic here, which I think is upsetting the typical balance, because like most of everything that went through in that Republican debate, like we all hate Planned Parenthood, shut it down, those baby killers. And, oh, we all hate the Mexicans, build a wall. You know, it's all pretty the same stuff. Oh, Iran sucks, we ought to go to war, whatever. But the marijuana thing provided one of the most contentious parts of the debate between Senator Rand Paul and Governor Chris Christie. And the jokes coming in on Jeb Bush, and then the lies, well, I shouldn't say lies, the mischaracterizations by Carly Fiorina. So it was one of the few times where there's differences of opinion here. Stark differences. You got Chris Christie, who will send federal troops in to bust people, to seize the dispensaries, to seize the grows, to seize the extract places, and to bust people in Colorado who are currently contributing, what is it now, $130 million to the Colorado tax revenue? Contributed what, 10, 12, 14,000 jobs to the economy? He's going to send the feds in to stop that. Yeah, okay. And then you've got Senator Rand Paul on the other side taking a consistent libertarian position. I don't agree with libertarians on everything, but I got to give it to them on this one, that they're consistent, that the U.S. Constitution doesn't say that the state, that the federal government regulates medicine, and it doesn't say that the states don't regulate medicine. And by reading the 10th Amendment, the things that aren't assigned to the feds and aren't banned to the states are the job of the states. And that would be medicine and drugs. Wow, man, time flies when you legalize. That's all the time we got for today. It's been a good week, guys. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with more news you can use for the cannabis community. And don't forget, Tuesday, we got Steve D'Angelo from Harborside joining us. That'll be fun. For everyone here at Roll J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you